and extend my appreciation for this opportunity that has been allotted to me. I told Brother Jerry earlier, I truly hope that I do not disappoint the committee and what they desired from the lesson. We'll do our very best in the way that God has led us. But above all things, I don't want to disappoint my Lord. Appreciate the lesson that was given prior to my standing. Appreciate Brother Doug, and I know that he desires an interest in our prayers as he continues to travel. I do want to say this, and for his prayer request, I do ask everyone, most of you may know, to remember Sister Sheila Nicodemus and that family, Brother Terry and his two daughters. They've really had a rough time over the last few days, but I do want to extend my appreciation and my thanks to this to the church and to this committee for allowing me this opportunity. The title that's been given to me is Christ the Healer. I want to read just a few verses of Scripture, three verses of Scripture, before we actually get into our thought. But you'll find these Scriptures in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, if you'd like to turn there with us. Matthew chapter 4, and begin with verse 23, reading throughout the maintenance of this chapter. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers disease and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. If I have counted correctly, there are right at 26 miracles that is recorded in the four Gospels that our Lord did. I do want to say this before we go any further. The things that the Lord accomplished while he was here on this earth, as far as the miracles or the those that he healed, it wasn't a theatrical performance as we think today or as we see today in many of the religious organizations. There wasn't a play upon the emotions of the people. He either simply touched them or he spoke to them, and they were healed. The word healer, and we have already had the definition of Christ done throughout the previous lessons, but we know that Christ is the title that was given, as Brother Moran did the first night, to our Lord. Now, the word Christ, of course, we know that it to mean the anointed one, and the word anointed represents poured upon or set aside. Now, the word healer is only found once in the Scriptures. It's found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 3 and verse 7. And in that verse, the Lord is speaking to through the prophet Isaiah, and he's making mention concerning that he will not be a healer to the nation of Judah. Now, but we know that Christ was a healer. And we want to look for a few moments of time at some definitions. The word healer found in the 1828 Webster's Dictionary is he or that which cures or restores soundness. The word heal means to be whole or entire, to cure of a disease or wound and restore to soundness or to the state or to that state of body in which the natural functions are regularly performed as to heal the sick. When the Lord healed someone, he healed them completely. I believe that. I don't believe that it was a process of time that these people got better. When he told them that they was healed of whatever infirmity that they had. Now, that doesn't say that they didn't go through life and something else happened to them, but I believe that he cured them of whatever ailment that they had the very moment they believed with faith. And we'll look at that more in just a moment. As we said, the word healer is only found once in the Scriptures. It's actually taken from a Hebrew word called kabash. It is a root word that means to wrap firmly. It is figuratively to stop or to rule. It means to bind up. It means as a healer or a saddle or a wrap about. Now, this word, kalbash, is actually found throughout the scriptures, and it is translated 33 other times. And for the sake of time, you can go through here. I have the scriptures where you can find this Hebrew word. Now, we find the word heal 40 times in the scriptures, and we found healed 79 times. But the word heal is found 21 times in the Old Testament, and it's taken from one word that is rapha. And this is also a root word. It means to mend by stitching. Figuratively, it means to cure. This word is found 68 other times in the Old Testament. And out of those 68 times, 58 of them, it's translated either heal, healed, or healing. So we see that it is very prominent as far as speaking concerning what is being done. It means to make whole. It means to cause to heal or repair thoroughly. And I like that. That's what the Lord does. He makes it the way that it was before the infirmity and before the sickness come about. We also find it 19 times in the New Testament, the word heal. And it's taken from four Greek words. It's taken from therapeo, which simply means to adore or to relieve of disease, to cure, to heal, to worship. It's also taken from ehomehi. It is used as a verb, and it means to cure. It is used, always used as healed, and once as healing. Except in Acts 9 and 34, it is used as maketh thee whole. There we find when Peter come across, and he found a man upon the steps, and there was a certain man by the name of Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, make thy bed. And he rose immediately. So we find there that is the only place where it's translated to make thee whole. The next word that it's translated as is diaz. It's taken from two words, two Greek words. One mean dia, which is channel, and the other one sozo, which means to deliver or protect. And I like this definition because I go through this to try to give you my definition of what a healer is when we think of Christ. So I ask you that you bear with us. But this word means to save thoroughly. It means to cure, preserve, or to rescue. It is found once as heal, and it's translated made perfectly whole, bring safe, to save, escape safe, and saved. And it used twice as the word escapes. The last word that we want to look at, the Greek word, is iasis. And it comes from a word which means to cure, and it's used as a verb as the act of curing. Now, when we look at all of these definitions, I've done this for a simple purpose. Is I want us to see that when Christ, what he does. Well, first we know that he's anointed one. And so he is given the authority by God when he came to this world because he was God, as it was so eloquently displayed in our previous lesson. God in the flesh came and he dwelt among us. And while he was here, he demonstrated some of the faculties of being God. Not that he, as Paul said in Colossians, not that he thought it robbery to be equal with God, but he humbled himself. He fashioned himself as man. But yet he still displayed some of the qualities. He was able to forgive sins. He was able to raise the dead. And I say this tonight, I truly believe that there has been no man except outside of those that he gave the commission to be able to heal that has ever had the power to heal anything or anyone. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that it ended with a succession of the apostles. That's my opinion. But I believe that God's still able to heal. There's not a doubt in my mind that Christ is still able to heal from heaven. That he has that power. Now, as we said, that there are many things in the scriptures that we first read. When we look at the things that Christ did, you can look in the Gospel of John, the last verse there, and paraphrasing it. It talks about that all, if they were to record everything that Christ did, that the world couldn't contain it. There's not enough books to record everything that the Lord did while he walked here upon this earth. And so I believe, though we have certain miracles and certain things that are written down, I believe that he done a whole lot more. I believe that in the very beginning of his ministry, he probably performed more miracles while he was there in Galilee than is what is recorded throughout all the scriptures. Because it said they brought many unto him. Not only did they bring the sick, but they brought those that was possessed with demons. They brought those that was lunatic. They brought those that have infirmities of the flesh. And he healed them all. And so there's no doubt in my mind that Christ had performed many more miracles than what is recorded. Now, we have to take what is recorded because it's all that we have. And so we'll look at some of these things as we go through here tonight. Christ the healer. I believe the definition of healer could be this. One that makes thoroughly whole. He doesn't do it halfway. He does it completely. Now, when we look at the healing that Christ has accomplished or that he performed, all of those that were healed, they had to show faith in Christ. They had to show faith in his ability to perform the thing that was asked. Now, when we think of faith, I'm not talking about just thinking that he was able to. But I think Paul describes faith in a very eloquent way when he classifies it as an unfeigned faith, an unmasked faith, an undisguised faith, a faith that's genuine. And these people that we find in the scriptures that were either healed because of their faith in Christ or the faith of someone else, and we'll look at those in just a moment, we see that their faith was complete in that the Lord was able to do these things. I truly believe today that if we have that same amount of faith, we could see a lot more things happen among our people. I truly do. I believe that God is still God. I don't foresee anywhere in the scriptures where his power is ever weakened because of time or because of circumstances. But we find him to be the omnipotent, all-powerful God. And I believe him to be that. And so I believe that through faith that we're able to see and accomplish great things if we'll but just put our trust in an unmasked trust, a true, sincere trust in him. Now, I want to look at three different types of people that we find in the scriptures. Some believe that Christ could heal them. Okay, these were people that directly believed that Christ was able to heal their infirmity. Okay, and they sought that, in other words. We think of the woman with an issue of blood. We find in the scriptures where this woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. You can go back and read in the book of Leviticus and find out what she dealt with this issue. But she had an issue of blood, and the Bible says that she sought many physicians. And she spent all that she had, but the Bible says she yet grew more the worse. And so we find that the Lord was making his way, on his way to perform another miracle. And as he was making his way, this woman come to him. And the Bible says that her thought was, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. So she had faith that Christ was able to. If she would come to him and touch just the hem of his garment, she knew that what the physicians couldn't do, Christ could. Okay? And then there was those that believed that Christ could heal others. Okay, we have the centurion servant. You remember when he come to the Lord and he asked the Lord, he said, Lord, I have a servant that is that's deathly sick. He's ill. He's dying. And Christ said, I'll go with you. And he said, oh, no, Lord, master. He said, I'm a man as you are. He said, I'm a man of authority. I have men under me. I tell one to go do and they do. I tell one to do this and they do that. And I'm paraphrasing. But we find that Christ made mention him and he said, Jesus said to the centurion, go thy way as thou hast believed, so it shall be done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the safe same hour. Okay? Now the servant didn't have faith. It was the centurion, soldier, that had faith. Now, you know, some people may disagree with me, and that's perfectly fine. You won't be the first person, trust me. But I do believe this. I believe that faith is a very powerful, I don't want to say opportunity. It's a very powerful thing, and that's not the exact word. But when we put our faith in God, my friends, we can accomplish and see things accomplished that we've never imagined. I truly believe the reason that we're in a state, and when we look at this, we're going to look at more than just a physical body, because I believe that Christ is the healer more than just the body. But when we look at the situation that we're in, The situation that may we have in our families or in our churches or in the society that we live in. I truly believe that and deep down within us, there is a lack of faith that God is able to do something. My friends, the world is bad. There's no doubt about that. But do you know it always has been since Adam sinned? It has. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says that he cursed the very ground. And the Bible tells us in Paul's writings, he tells us that the very creation groaneth. It waiteth for the redemption of man. Why? Because they have suffered throughout this whole time because of sin. And I believe that if our faith was that of a grain of mustard seed, we could say unto that mountain, "Mountain, be thou removed," and cast off into the sea. This centurion servant showed a great amount of faith. He knew that Christ didn't even have to be nowhere near the vicinity of where his servant was, but that if he would but just say the words, it would be so. I don't know about you, but I believe God spoke the world in existence, don't you? I believe he can still speak today and things can happen. Amen. Just as it did here. And then there was those that believed when Christ spoke. Those that were healed, the very moment that he spoke, they might not have a thought that they were going to be healed today. One of the examples that we think of is the man by the pool of Bethesda. Remember how that he was there and he had waited for so long. Over 30 years he had been in this crippled condition. And when the Lord come up to him that day, Jesus said, "Would thou be made whole?" And he says, "Yeah, I would, but I can't." Every time that the angel comes and ripples the water, I have no man to help me to get in. And Jesus told him, he says, "Take up thy bed and walk." And the Bible says immediately the man began to find strength within his body. Now this man probably wasn't expecting Christ to be there that day, but because Christ said that, he believed and he rose. We find another example in the scriptures of a man with palsy in Matthew 9 and 6, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Now, we all know this story. We remember how the four men, the four friends of this man with palsy, they had a desire to get their friend unto the Lord. And they couldn't get there because of the press, so they climbed up on top of the roof and began to tear the shingles off, and they let him down in front of the Lord. And he tells him, he says, "You know, thy sins be forgiven thee." And the Pharisees was very upset because they thought, "Well, who is this man? Nobody can forgive sins but God." Man, I wish people would listen to that. To me, it would solve a whole lot of problem if we just realize no, nobody can forgive sins but God. But that's another tangent. But they laid him down, and because of the hardness of the Pharisee's heart, he says unto the man, he tells him, he says, "That you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Then saith he to the sick of palsy, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house." Bible says immediately he got up, took his bed, and he walked out. He was let in from the roof, but he walked out the doors. These three types of people that we find that Christ healed, each one significant in their own way, the way that Christ presented himself to them, the way that they presented themselves to Christ is unique. And I truly believe that that's the way that Christ wants it with us. If there's problems in our life, I believe he wants us to come to him in a very unique fashion. And that fashion is from a personal standpoint. We need to talk to him just like we would anyone else. But yet in the same aspect, realize that he's not just anyone else. He's God. In our lesson, we want to look at three different types of healing. Now you can, there's many more things that you could classify these at. I'm kind of like Brother Doug was earlier. There's many different layers that you can place these. But in the outline, I hope that you take, I had a lot of thoughts that I wrote down that's not in the outline, so I hope that you take the recording and the outline and put them together, and hopefully they'll make sense. First, I want to look at physically, the flesh. We have already talked about that in some manner. Morally, our walk with the Lord, our righteousness restored, rescued, or mended. And spiritually, and on the outline I have the inward man, but I really mean more of that image that God made after himself, okay? When he created man, we know, everyone knows in the book of Genesis, he said, "Let us make man in our image." And in our image created he him. So we want to look at these three, and we'll try to hasten along. We don't want to wear no one's patience. I do want to say this from the onset. With all healing, there's action on the part of the persons or persons being healed. First, we must realize that we have to go to Christ. We have to realize our need for Him. There's a need that He has. There's a remedy that He has that we can't find in anything else. And so we go to Him and we act upon that is spoken. Now, when we think of infirmities, things that Christ can heal, I want us to realize that it's all because of sin. Okay? When Adam transgressed in the Garden of Eden, man began to die, both physically. He died spiritually, but he began to die physically. And from that day, man has experienced many different types of avenues in which our body is destroyed. Now, I want to make these distinctions tonight, if you will allow me. The first distinction I want to make is that God is just in any manner or way that He sees for our life. Okay? In 1994, I buried my dad. Me and my mother buried my dad. He was 47 years old, and he had cancer. Now, we was talking earlier. There's a young man that's 16 years old that has a brain tumor. We think of that, and we think, you know, that's awful. And it is, from the fleshly standpoint. But I want us to realize God is just in anything that He decides to do with our lives. Now, just because we don't understand it, doesn't mean that it's not right. Okay? My daughter has been through several surgeries. And so I can come from as a parent and say, why does these things happen? But I am fully convinced that God has a purpose. I don't know what it is, and I can promise you, you probably won't know what they are. But that's where we have to live by faith. Amen. Now, when we look at the infirmities that's been placed upon us, we have to realize that sometimes it's just because of the things that just come about us. We think of cancer. I truly believe, I've worked with cancer patients for several years. I believe that there are things that we can do to our body that can promote this disease. But I also believe that it's a generic process. I believe that it's passed from family member to family member. A lot of the problems that we have, we've gotten from our forefathers and from our parents. Did your mom and dad ever had high blood pressure? You got high blood pressure? Cholesterol? Now, there's a lot of things that we can do that can bring that about ourselves. Now, I say all that for this purpose because I want us to look in the Scriptures. The reason why that we are afflicted with the things of life, okay? There's sometimes that it's just for the honor and glory of God, okay? Remember the man that was born blind? Christ healed him. His disciples asked him, he said, why was this man born blind? Was it his sin or the sin of his parents? And Christ said it was neither. It was that God would receive the honor and glory. Okay? So we see that this man, and I'm, you know, we can just imagine this child being born from a little infant, walking around, never being able to see the light of day. I mean, we would have compassion upon him, wouldn't we? I mean, as an infant, as a little child growing up and going to school and out playing with our sons and our daughters, and we would tell our, you know, our children, you be easy with him. He's not able to do like you and I am. But it was for God's honor and glory. Okay? Now, we see that sometimes the things that we are afflicted with is for honor and glory. Sometimes the things that we're afflicted with is because of our own neglect. It really is. We find in the Scriptures that a king by the name of Uzziah, I don't know how many of you have ever heard of him or read about him, but if you've read much in the Old Testament and in Kings and Chronicles, you've read about him. But this man was given leprosy. He was. Because he sinned against God. He entered into the temple and he took the role almost of a high priest or of a priest. And he knew what he was doing was wrong, and so God gave him leprosy, struck him down with leprosy. We see that there was a great plague given upon the children of Israel because of the fornication that they committed. I believe today that, you know, there's a lot of people. And I will say this, just because, let's say for an example, you have someone that's a fornicator. And he does this consecutively. Now, if he comes down with some type of disease, then I'm not saying that God gave it to him, but he ought to have enough sense not to do that, when the Bible strictly teaches us to abstain from those things. Okay? And so, though God may forgive him of his sins that he committed, yet he's still going to have to carry that disease around for the rest of his life. Now, I believe God can heal him. I do. But I want you to realize that sometimes we afflict things upon ourselves. Not all the time. I don't want you to think that, okay? I don't want you to leave here and tomorrow come down with a cold and think, man, I've done something wrong. Okay? I don't mean that. I'm trying to elaborate upon these things because I want us to see that God is you know, that we talk about God as no respecter of persons when we talk about the nationality of men. But I believe he's the same way with us. And our lifestyles and the things that we do and the things that the world does. God looks upon us, and I truly believe this, when we at any moment demonstrate faith, God don't care nothing about what we look like or what we are. He sees that faith that we exhibit to him. And my friends, if you want to scripture believe that, you remember the woman that come to him and he told her, he says, why would I give to the dogs that belongs to the children? And she said, even the dogs get the crumbs from the master's table. And do you know what he said to her? I've not found so great a faith in all of Israel. So he, you know, at first he distinguished her as someone from a different nationality. But when faith was exemplified, my friend, he looked at her just like he would anybody else. And so that's the thing that I want us to get from this. We need to have faith that God is able to do these things. Doesn't matter what has come about us. Whether we have cancer, whether we come down with disease, whether we have a stroke, or whether it's a plague that comes upon us. You know, we look in history and we can see people dying by the millions because of disease. My friends, I don't know why, but I do know this. It's for a purpose. And I believe God is able to heal. Now, physically, all those that Christ healed from their physical infirmities were healed instantly with faith, was displayed either by one being healed or by those seeking healing of others. There was not a long process of time for the healing to take place. He spoke and it was done. Okay? If you've ever watched any of the theatrical performances that you can see on TV of these things, you'll notice that sometimes they takes a process of time. Well, they might get better for a few days and then they get sick again. And the reason is, well, their faith got weak. I believe our faith can get weak, but I don't believe that that's the reason they're in the condition they're in. I believe they put their faith in man and not in Christ. So we see some examples, Matthew 8:13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, and I said this a while ago, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so it be done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. In John 4:49-53, we find the nobleman. And he saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Okay, now he asked him to come, didn't he? But Jesus told him, he said, just go on your way. Just go back to the house. Whatever you ask is going to be done. And it says, and as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. And then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. Now, he's acting like, well, he just got better over time. But the servant says, his fever just left. It was gone. It didn't drop gradually, it just left him. And then it says, so the father knew that it was the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and he himself believed in his whole house. So because he exemplified faith, his whole house exemplified faith and put their trust in the Lord. In Matthew 8:3, we find some that are because of their faith. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now, we find many different instances in the scriptures, and you can find pretty much all of the healings that Christ did. You'll find that these scriptures just continue to go forth. They continue with one another. Immediately, you find the word immediately, or it was complete, or, when Christ healed them, he healed them completely. It was done at that moment. Now, I do want to say this before I go any further. I already made mention that I don't believe that there's been a man outside the apostles. And the only reason I believe they had the power is because God gave it to them. Christ said to them when he sent them out, he says, I give you power to cast out demons, to heal the sick. He gave them that ability. They didn't have it within themselves. But since that day, I don't believe that man has had that ability to be able to heal, to raise the dead, or to cast out demons. But I do believe this. I believe that if a person is to be healed this day and time, and us to intervene, I believe we're to take the advice that James gives us. Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. I believe that our prayers can make a great difference in the needs of others. And I believe the Bible teaches that. As we said, there are 26 miracles recorded in the four Gospels. There are miracles anything from healing, giving sight to the blind, to making the lame walk, the dumb to speak, the deaf to hear, those that were possessed with devils cast out, and even Malchus's ear. Remember when Peter chopped it off? Before Jesus was ever taken away, he performed another healing. He reached down, grabbed his ear off the ground, put it back upon her, and it was made whole, just like Peter never cut it off. So there are many miracles that the Lord performed. As we said, we want to look at three, and I must hasten. First was physically. Second is morally. I believe that Christ can heal our moral decay. When we fall away, either as a church, nation, or individually, this is what we're talking about. When we step away and no longer live the righteous life that God would have us to do. Now, I want you to realize something. Though we might not be sick physically, though it could come about that because of our immoral living, but I do want to say this. We become sick spiritually. And my friends, we need Christ to heal us. And there's no other one that can do that. Now, there's an aspect, as we said, it was the same with those that deal with the flesh. We have to realize our sin and our need, and then we have to go to the Lord. And we have to believe that he's able. Everyone knows the scripture, 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he said, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their lands. Jeremiah 3 and 22, return ye backsliding children and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. I like that. They come unto him because they know who he is. And Hosea 6 and 1, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. The word bind there is also the same word used to for heal. Last is spiritually, to make us what we once was when God made us. I do believe that when Adam sinned, he died at that moment spiritually. There's no doubt in my mind. The Bible says that his eyes was open and they realized their nakedness and they became ashamed. They went and sewed fig leaves together. When they heard the voice of God in the cool of the day, they went and hid themselves because of their nakedness. And Adam tells him that. We all know that story. But as I said earlier, he began to die physically. Okay? And I will say this. I believe Christ came to heal us, not just in the flesh. I truly do. Romans 2 and 29 says, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of man but of God. Now we know what he's talking about there. He's talking about being circumcised of the heart, being made a spiritual Jew. Now I want to ask you a question. Can any man do that? I can't. There's a lot of men that God has given magnificent abilities. That are able to perform great miracles in my eyes. I know they're not. That's what they went to school to do. But they can do surgeries. They can help us in our bodies. Doctors, nurses that are able to form these things that can really help us in our flesh. But boy, they can't do nothing to our spiritual nature, can they? They can't touch it. Though they may see the heartbeat and then it stop and they be able to shock it back, they still don't know what actually causes that thing to go. Well, I know, you know, it's because God breathed into our nostrils the breath of life and we became a living soul. That's where our energy comes from. That's the reason that we can think and we can breathe and we can move and we have our being. But when it comes to the inward man that is sick and destitute, that needs mending, when we come to the age of accountability and we realize that we have sinned against God, my friends, we need to be mended. We need to be bound up. And not just bound up, but we need to be saved and thoroughly saved. I love that definition. He goes on to say, the word sealed, and I took this, means to stamp for security and preservation. I can promise you this much. I've not always lived like I'm saved, and I'm ashamed to say that. But I can tell you this much. Since the Lord saved me as an 11-year-old boy, I have always been saved. I don't understand that. I'm just glad that He sealed us. Because if He didn't, I'd have lost it the very moment I got it. Ephesians 1 and 13 is just one of several scriptures in the book of Ephesians. There's actually several scriptures that speak concerning this. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. My friends, we were healed completely, securely, and not only was our healing complete, but He preserved it, that it never happened again. And I'm thankful for that. Lastly, I want to look from a spiritual standpoint. As I said, we died spiritually. Adam began to die spiritually. He died spiritually when he sinned, but he also began to die physically. Now, it doesn't matter. If we were able to heal every infirmity of this flesh, every time that we got a cold, every time that we found something in our blood work that wasn't right, every time that there was something that would alter our ability to perform in this body, if we could heal it right then and there, we would still face death. Okay? Now, this body is going to go back, as we know from the scriptures, go back from the dust of the ground from which it come from. We find in Genesis chapter 2 how it describes how God created man. He formed man out of the dust of the ground, and then He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. But we see that this body continues to decay. I'm not going to pick on no one in general. I'm young compared to a lot of people that's here. That means you're just wiser than I am. Okay? You see how I tried to... I might be from Lafayette, but I've got a little learning outside of there. But every day that we live, we can find something different, can't we? I guarantee you that you see more things wrong with your body today than you did 10 years ago, don't you? We experience things differently than we did years before, don't we? Believe it or not, I used to have a high metabolism. You might not believe that, but there are some people here that saw me many years ago when I first started in the ministry, and I was skinny. You probably don't believe that, but I have pictures. I got proof. That's one of the things I wish didn't change with age. But do you know there's going to come a day when we don't have to worry about that anymore? Christ is going to perform the last healing. The very last. There'll be no more need of faith. There'll be no more need of us going to the doctors. John said when he was describing the New Jerusalem, in some of the writings there, he said there'll be no more death, no sickness, no pain, no dying over there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 42 through verse 44, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. 1 Corinthians 15 again, verses 52 through verse 67, same chapter. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall arise incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only are we healed, but we are healed eternally. Revelations 22, 1 and 2, and he shewed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees was for the healing of the nations. I believe it's a symbolic that we won't need anything else when we get there. We'll be made completely completely whole, and able to perform the duties that is required of us to serve the Lord. That's what healing was. When he healed a man that had an infirmity, he healed him to a point where he was able to do things like he did. In closing, let me read Isaiah 53, and everyone knows these scriptures, but Isaiah 53, 1 through 5. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. God bless you. Thank you for this opportunity.